If this is your first time with us, we've been going through a series that I've titled What God Has Taught Us in Our Marriage between Winnie and I. And the first week I talked about the topic of anger and how God taught me that anger was an issue in my life and I need to clean up my life. Last week we dealt with the topic of finding joy in suffering, how through our suffering, God showed Winnie and I how to find joy. A lot of people didn't understand where a lot of joy is instead of finding happiness. This week, before we delve into the third lesson that God has taught us in our marriage, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you that we can come here to worship you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that the time we have here together with you, Lord, that whatever truth that you've given me this week, it is your truth, not my truth, Lord. And Lord, if we are coming here with baggage of this broken world, may you bind them and cast them away so that we can focus on you, Lord. Ask Jesus' name, amen. When Kairos was 3 months old, I had a fight with Winnie. I don't recall what we fought about, but it escalated very quickly to a shouting match. Like a lot of us, we have this conception, or we think, that whoever shouts the loudest in an argument wins. Whoever's voice is louder than the other person wins the argument. And like all of us, I employed that lesson and embraced it. But as when I argued louder and louder, I turned my head as I looked at Kairos. His eyes was staring at me without even blinking. No sound came from his mouth. But within that silence spoke volumes. You see, Kairos was attentively learning from his father how to resolve conflicts. He was learning and acquiring my dysfunctional personal behavior. And at that moment, I stepped back. More importantly, I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me. At that moment, I told myself, I will not allow this to continue. I will not allow this to continue in my son's generation. And I will not allow my son to learn from his dad his dysfunctional personal behavior. Besides death and taxes, there's something we cannot deny. One generation has universal influence on the other. Our family traits are often passed down from parents to children, and this cycle has been repeated for many families. Some traits may be positive and beneficial, such as our nurturing skills, value in hard work, or even getting a higher education. Unfortunately, negative and destructive behavior can also be passed down too. When we accept Christ and become a Christ follower, we will not be aware of how our new relationship with him will change us individually. But it can also have a wonderful, wonderful influence on our descendants, impacting future generations. Consider why some of us are in church this morning. We are in church because either one or both of our parents made the conscious decision to bring us to church. Now, before I continue, you may be thinking, you know, I think I had a long week. I'm going to sit back and relax and maybe go on my phone and just maybe take a nap. Because, you know, there is no dysfunction in my family. My family is so healthy. So before you take a nap, before you go on your phone, before you zone out and take a doze, let me ask you some questions. Do you feel nervous being around certain family members? Do you need to consciously pay attention to what words you use when talking to certain family members? Do you offer constructive criticism to family members, and is it well received? Do you maintain an image because that is what your family wants to see? Does your family offer you more criticisms than praises? Does your family members fail to put your past mistakes in the past? Are your family members more focused on your achievements than you as a person? Whenever you have a conflict in your family, are hurtful personal attacks used? And lastly, if you want to relax and rest, would you prefer to go out to a Starbucks or Tim Hortons than staying at home? Not if you answer to all, or maybe two or three, or even one. If you answer even one on this list that I just read out, you have dysfunctional characteristics in your family. Also consider this. Holidays. In North America, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. Within Asians, the Lunar New Year, the Mid-Autumn Festival. During this time, families get together, share drink, food, and times. For most of us, it's festive and happy. Unfortunately, not all family gatherings end up this way. For some families, these festive times are the most stressful times of the year. Previous unforgiven hurts that did not show up during the other times of the year reveal themselves. Often, some of our deepest personal problems are the result of dysfunctional family behavioral patterns. Sadly, a lot of people don't realize how one family member can influence other members. That is why God challenged us that we need to think generationally. Now, this morning, Javier read out Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to 6. Now, when we hear these verses, we always think about the Ten Commandments. But I'm going to do something different today. I want all of us to meditate and learn and hear these words, but within the context of dysfunctional families. I want us to understand these verses and understand that family dysfunctions and their consequences are passed down from parents to children and from generation to generation. Sometimes our dysfunctional sin or sinful behavior is moved or transferred to the next generation by poor examples of the previous generation. Now take a look at our own family. Just ponder, think about our family. Within our family, we have our own strengths and we have our own weaknesses. Now, some of them may be genetic in nature, such as musical or athletic talents that are passed down from one generation to next. For example, my aunt was very talented in making crafts. Her children or my cousins all have artistic talents from my aunt. One of my cousins is a graphic artist. The other cousin is an industrial graphic designer. And my other cousin is a fashion designer. Other strengths and weaknesses could be a result of environmental factors. These include our values, our morals, our priorities, and our decision-making. The danger is when negative choices or bad home environment becomes so deep within our family. The end result is that individual family members can become self-destructive and unknowingly pass these traits on to the next generation. Unless we consciously break this curse, these traits may be passed on to our children. We need to understand that one's generational dysfunctional personal behavior may become a model or even example to the next generation, and this cycle repeats over and over again. And this cycle will continue until someone says, this has got to stop, and make a difference. That is why God challenged us to be Abraham. Be Abraham. Make a difference. Why? Why does God challenge us to be Abraham? Because the life of Abraham is what James describes as a friend of God. His example is why we need to think generationally. Abraham rejected the pagan, sinful culture of his family and chose to live a new and positive way of life. At God's request, he left that environment and even his own family to follow the path that God had laid out for him. As a result, he was known as the father of the faithful, because Abraham was willing to abandon the sinful habits and practices of generations. God made specific promises to him about his future descendants. Genesis chapter 13. God tells Abraham, I will make your offspring as dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. In Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all your families of earth shall be blessed. Fast forward 2,000 years later to Jesus Christ, a direct descendant of Abraham. He would be born to atone for all sin and offer eternal life to all. The entire world came to be blessed through Abraham because of his willingness to break with the patterns of the past generations and embark on a new life revealed by God. So what is our motivation to change? What is our motivation to remove our dysfunctional behavior? If we are a product of our own family's heritage, our dysfunctional traits or weaknesses are the direct result of them being passed from one grandparent to the other to our children. And that's why we need to change. We have the responsibility to purge these weaknesses and be a better example for our children and grandchildren. This commandment not only benefits our immediate family members, but our extended family members too. We need to recognize what is happening and make a conscious effort with God's help to create a new positive family heritage. When we look at Scripture, we can see that God told the people of Israel that he loved them and wanted them to be better people by obeying his commandments. He wanted both of them and their descendants to be happy and blessed. Through Moses, he pleaded with them to make the right choices and proclaim in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, and you and your offspring may live. On the other hand, some of us know that we have dysfunctional behavior, and we tell ourselves, that's who I am. Deal with it. That's me. First off, there is absolutely, and I repeat, absolutely no excuse for destructive, dysfunctional, personal behavior within a family. None. Think about this, or consider this. You are an owner of a high-powered sports car, like a Lamborghini or Ferrari, and you're driving through the school zone at 100 kilometers per hour, the police stops you, and then you tell the police, that's not your fault. It's not my fault. You tell the police that by nature, my car has a powerful engine, and the car is meant to be driven fast. It is not meant to be driven slow. Do you think the police will say, yep, you're right, have a nice day? Of course not. The police will definitely give you a ticket. And you're thinking, Bill, what a silly example. We know the answer. But how about this? We often hear people giving excuse for their dysfunctional behavior, shifting the blame away by saying things like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault I have a temper. It's not my fault I'm angry. I got it from my mom, I got it from my dad, I got it from my grandparents, and it's in the family. Our problem's in the family. I can't change it. The truth of the matter is that we have absolute control over our dysfunctional tendencies. It's a matter of choice whether or not we act out our dysfunctional behavior. As what we heard in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, we have the ability to choose blessings or curses. As I said, dysfunctional behavior that are allowed to continue may be passed down for generations. If you look at your family, or look at our family in general, my family, your family, and we realize that we have a history of negative, greedy, selfish, anger, or controlling, God wants us to be the Abraham and put a stop to it. All of us deal with issues from our family heritage. Some of these problems go back for many generations, and we must confront them if we want to make a change for the best. Now you might be thinking, that task is too difficult. The good news is that we don't have to do this alone. God offers the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can put a stop to these destructive habits and make a life even more productive for future generations. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the fruits of the Spirit that we possess, such as joy, faithfulness, self-control, can literally change our lives as we move away from our destructive habits towards a new Spirit-led nature. In John chapter 5, there's a man who was blind, lame, and paralyzed for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been like this for a long time. And Jesus asked this man a very simple question. But this simple question carried a lot of weight and a lot of reflection. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? Do we all want to get well? But more importantly, I think Jesus is asking us this morning, do you want to get well so that your descendants will not be sick? Some of us here may look at our family tree and not like what we see. As a pastor, I don't know what you see. That is between you and God. What I do know is that the opportunity to make a change is in our hands. We can be the Abraham in our family if we consciously choose. One of my mentors in my spiritual development shared this story with me. He was going hiking up at Whistler. He came across a bird caught in the thorns. Wanting to help the bird get freed, he reached over and tried to get the bird untangled from the thorns. While he was doing this, The bird kept on pecking and pecking with his sharp beak into his hand. It was probably the most unpleasant experience. But finally, the bird was freed. How did the bird thank my mentor? By giving him several bloody punctured wounds all over his two hands. This is a word of warning. Confronting a family member about his or her dysfunctional behavior may hurt you more than if you have done nothing at all. You may be hurt more than you have, if you had done nothing at all. But guess what? That is the price you pay for doing the greater good. In fact, that's the price you pay for doing God's work. The encouraging thing is that God is with us through our pain and self-doubt. When confronting with the dysfunctional cycle in our family. But God is with us. And we must remember, never forget that. Whatever happens, God will never abandon us. If we truly want to break the cycle of dysfunction in our families, let us pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we see things in our family that doesn't